We're going to call to order the meeting of the Senate Committee on Rural Communities and Economic Development, today, April 18th. And as most people know, this is the day that bills have a last chance in the Senate. And so I'm going to give some information so people don't have to stay around if they didn't know this already. But the following bills are not going to be heard, even though they're on our list today. And they include Senate Bill 19, Senate Bill 708, and Senate Bill 250. So if those are the only reasons you're here, you can understand they aren't coming forward today.
Or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow, or whenever. So that's where those are. But we do have a lot of other work, and we're going to try to keep it fairly short. I know that there is, so we're going to work on our work sessions first, and we'll have explanations. So we'll just kind of go down. So we'll start with Senate Bill 357. So we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 357. And I'm going to have a short explanation because this bill has changed a bit, and...
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you might recall that back in February, we heard Senate Bill 257, not to be mistaken for Senate Bill 357, which is before you right now. And this would have established a loan program to fund federal forest projects. And we ended up having a work group, and as a result of the work group, this amendment to Senate Bill 357 was proposed. And it replaces the measure, and it directs the advisory committee, or an advisory committee of the Board of Forestry, to study and recommend financial support mechanisms to increase the pace and scale of federal forest management. It specifies that the report may identify approaches to promote federal efficiencies and diversify and improve revenue sources to support management, evaluate options for establishing a revolving loan fund, and evaluate feasibility of gain sharing increased state income tax revenue with counties funding federal forest management. It requires the advisory committee to report to an interim committee of the Legislative Assembly in February 1st, 2014. The proposed Dash One amendment has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
So, short explanation, we had a number of work groups that worked, that Senator Sugar and I worked on with a number of people. And the idea was to float out as many different ideas of ways we can get a revolving fund to go. And one of the issues, all of those that are listed on this were opportunities for us to have a conversation if we put, if the state or a county puts money in to get more work done on federal forests, and those, that work engages in ways that creates jobs and also could, in contracting, we could get money back, that we could then take that money that we earn from the sale and put back into doing the next sale. So we get this revolving fund that actually creates jobs. It's one way we could actually get some more work done on federal forests, which would keep mills in action, especially on the east side. So there was already a group that was working on it. We just wanted to send a notice to them to look at all the things that they were already looking at, and then some new ideas that we'd had. And it won't cost anything. I think our fiscal and our others are nothing because the group was already there. We just wanted to give them some impetus, and they felt that it would be helpful if they got that from us.
Mr. Chair, by the way, it's the Federal Forest Lands Advisory Committee that...
Is the name of the group that's going to be working on this. And they're already established. Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I just picked up the word gain share.
Gain share, yes.
And I perked up my ears, and...
Exactly. That's, yeah, and the reason that that came up is in the conversations, they've said, well, if we can show that we can create more jobs, if we want to revolve this money, is there a way that we can get the state or some ways to get it to revolve it back and use it again and again and again? Because what we found is the federal government cannot, even if they make money off the sale, it has to go to their general fund, and they can't come back to the project. And so we're trying to figure out, how can we increase it to get the money to come back to the state so that we can use it again to keep revolving it?
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
So that's the purpose.
And the operative word being federal money.
Exactly. Thanks.
Okay, Chair Roblin and I move to adopt the Dash One amendments dated 415-13 for Senate Bill 357.
Senator Berkshire moves to adopt the dash one amendment stated 415-13. Is there any discussion?
No.
Is there any objection? Adopted. Senator Berkshire.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 357 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Berkshire moves Senate Bill 357 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any opposition? Seeing none, it is adopted. Who would like to carry this? Senator Berkshire can carry this bill. Thank you very much. So we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 357. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 582. We will have a short explanation of a very long amendment. So we had these last week and we held them to today because we want people to have a chance to look them over.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we heard Senate Bill 582 on March 21st and then April 4th and heard a number of, some feedback on the dash one amendment. And so some of the changes made from the prior dash one amendment and this dash three amendment that you're looking at, it removes the provisions that allowed the director to use discretion to establish, terminate, change, or limit the specialty code application. It also removes a provision to allow the department to adopt alternative requirements such as approach and water supply adequacy for fires. It also replaces the option for a person to choose whether to go to the state or local building services and instead replaces it with an appeals process. It clarifies the consent to enter into the partnership agreements, which are discussed in several sections of the amendment. And then it also removes the provision allowing the department to advise on plan and alternative possibilities for plans to meet code approval. And this includes removing the provision that allowed the department to consult and advise on calculation, sizing, building plan requirements. And so some of the parts that were added, so that's what we took out of the dash one amendment. And so some other provisions that were added is that it does clarify that a building official is to determine if the structure meets building code standards regarding fire and life safety with consideration for the advice provided by the state fire marshal. And I know that you wanted to.
I'll say another statement about that later.
And then it also authorizes the department to provide plans and specifications for structures exempt from engineering and architect statutes and metal or wood frame use and occupancy classification group use structures. And then it also authorizes local building officials or inspectors to provide these plans for just the exempt structures. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, it also provides an appeal provision in there for matters relating to the administration enforcement of ORS Chapter 455. And then I guess I should say also that there is no revenue impact on the dash three and a fiscal statement has been issued.
And it requests that we go to, it go to Ways and Means because of the number of changes. They want to look at it again and we, and in talking, so that is part of the motion will be that it goes to Ways and Means. I do want to say on the fire issue, originally it was going to have some, it had taken out the issues that we put back in about getting to and from the building and so on. And there's also an Attorney General decision, we looked at that, that basically says they have to take considerable consideration. It has a couple adjectives to explain that they're really supposed to listen and talk with the fire marshal in determining the kinds of things and the fire suppression equipment inside the building. And we recognize that some of those adjectives don't mean a lot, but we want to put on the record for certain that it really means that you really do need to have a conversation with the fire marshal. It is not just that you heard from them and then you ignored it and went on and did it, but that actually in that Attorney General decision and as we write this rule to incorporate that, we are expecting that there will be a conversation about that with the fire marshal in the particular jurisdiction that's there, about how to make the building safe from fire as well. So the Attorney General had decided in this particular portion that it really was going to be, the in person was the building codes, but it really, our belief is that that means that they really do need to have consultation and talk to each other. And I agreed in our work group that I would put that on the record today, and I really believe that that's important, and I think everybody else agrees that that's important. So, yes, Senator Close.
I just had one question from the staff. When you talk about the bullet, replaces option for person to choose whether to go to state or local building services, that's after the agreement has been signed with the state, correct?
But Senator Close, I'm not sure that I understand your question. It establishes an appeals process
but
instead.
When?
So the appeals would be after they have maybe submitted a building
agreement. Okay, that's what I
mean. I think it's not on the agreement, and maybe Mark might be in the audience to explain this better than me.
Come on up, Mark.
But my understanding is that it would be once they made the decision, then they could appeal it to the building.
The decision to make an agreement, or?
No.
It's not. This is a separate provision from the agreements.
Okay, I need clarification.
There's multiple components on there.
Hi. For the record, Mark Long, Administrator of Building Codes. Chair Roblin, Senator Close, I think I heard the question. If I got it wrong, can we try again?
Sure.
All right. So there's two parts to this. There's a part about where we're going to create mutual agreements with primarily counties who are struggling in rural areas of the state, and I think I've shared with you in the previous testimony kind of the areas that we're working on. As a matter of fact, I'll be in southeast Oregon in 2 weeks trying to hopefully put together something in anticipation of this bill passing to help that struggling area of Harney Mall here in the city of Ontario. On appeals, the language in Section 13, I believe, on the Dash 3 Amendment basically modifies current law. Current law, you can appeal the decision of a local building official after they've made a final decision on a code matter, comes to our office, and then it goes to the boards as the ultimate decision maker, who are the ones who adopted the code to begin with. What this does is it extends it to other things that we regulate under ORS Chapter 455. So that could be we regulate forms, we regulate fee methodologies, not fee amounts. We regulate a variety of different things under that chapter. And this basically says you can appeal those matters after a final decision onto our organization and then onto the Court of Appeals should you want further redress. So hopefully I got at your question.
So that's regardless of whether there was an agreement or not.
Yeah, two separate issues, and it expands on existing authority that the legislature put in place in 1999 on appeals.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. Senator Baird?
I'm waiting for my blue sheet.
That's right.
Okay. Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated 4-16-13 for Senate Bill 582.
Senator Berkshire moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated 4-16-13. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, they are adopted. Senator Berkshire.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 582 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and add a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
So, Senator Berkshire moves Senate Bill 582 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and add a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any opposition? Seeing none, they are approved and adopted. We need to have someone. I will carry this. We don't have to carry it to Ways and Means. We're good. Thanks. Very good. So we're going to close our work session on Senate Bill 582. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 606. So with that, Raquel, what do we have here with 606?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have for Senate Bill 606, the Dash 3 amendment. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. We discussed this bill on April 4th, and it was in a Dash 2 version. And basically the provisions that changed includes requiring the owner or operator of a wave energy facility to initiate removal of the equipment, with exception for anchors, cables, and other equipment at least 1 meter beneath the submerged lands of the territorial sea within 12 months after permanently ceasing wave energy operations. It also authorizes the Department of State Lands to require the removal of the anchors, cables, or any other equipment that is otherwise accepted if the director deems that it's necessary. It also requires the removal of all applicable equipment within 2 years after operations cease, and allows the Department of State Lands to extend this deadline if the owner or operator shows good cause. It also authorizes that the civil penalties that are up to $1,000 per day for a violation of these sections to be deposited in the common school fund for use by the Department of State Lands. Previously, it was in a new fund called the Wave Energy Fund, and so that changed that provision. And then finally, it also creates a section that directs the Department of Energy to study issues relating to wave energy transmission.
So, I have
a question.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. I notice in the dash one, we remove the requirement that the Department of State Lands remove the equipment. And then this one, we give it back to them, it appears. But it specifies just the anchors, cables. Can you just explain?
Yeah. What our issue has been is that I don't know if you know that there's an anchor off Coos Bay now that's been put there, and they don't seem to be moving forward with the project. And we wanted to make sure that there's enough money and capability of the company to remove it, so it needs to be put back the way it was when they got the projects out there. And we tried to figure out what agency was best and most responsible for doing it. And when we finally got all the groups together, everybody agreed that since the ocean floor is the responsibility of the Department of State Lands, it was the place that should be holding the responsibility for it. So we ended up back at the same place where all of us felt it should be.
Thank you very much.
And we're trying to do some stuff proactively here so that when we get stuff out in the ocean, if wave energy proves to be successful and whatever, most of these things have a life expectancy, and we have an expectation that they're going to get removed, and it's not going to be at the expense of the land port of us. It should be at the expense of the company putting it in. Okay. And that's what this bill does.
Perfect.
Okay, so we'll take it. And, well, we also had the subsequent referral to Ways and Means taken off of this one because it, after we got back the Riz and Fizz, it was okay. So.
Okay, Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the dash three amendments dated 4/16/13 to Senate Bill 606.
Is there any further discussion? Oh, I have to say this first, though. Senator Bescher moves to adopt the dash three amendments dated 4/16/13. Is there any discussion? Thank you. Seeing none, is there any opposition? Seeing none, they are adopted. Senator Bearsugar.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 606 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Senator Bearsugar moves Senate Bill 606 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any opposition? Seeing none, it is approved. And I'll carry this one. This is one of the bills I spent a lot of time on.
Oops.
Okay. So we'll close the
language
work session on Senate Bill 606, and we will open a work session on Senate Bill 737. And with that,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we heard Senate Bill 737 in conjunction with Senate Bill 736 on March 28th. You're now looking at the Dash 5 amendment, which has a minimal revenue impact and a fiscal statement has been issued. And it does have a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. If you recall from our meeting the last time, 736 and 737 had some similar provisions, And this amendment combines those provisions, essentially. And so the current version of this bill establishes an Oregon Ocean Science Trust to promote ocean and coastal resource research and monitoring, and subject to funding availability, establish a competitive grant program. It also directs the state land board to appoint members to the trust, and it specifies that the trust members serve as volunteers without compensation or reimbursement. It directs the Department of State lands and other agencies as necessary to provide the personnel support to the trust, and it creates the Oregon Ocean Science Fund, which would consist of donations, legislatively approved monies, interest, and monies received from the federal government under the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, which was the component that came from that Senate Bill 736. And it appropriates the fund money to the Oregon Ocean Science Trust. It also takes from Senate Bill 736 the provision that would have distributed 30% of monies received under the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act to coastal counties adjacent to lands for which the state distributive share is received. And then it authorizes reimbursement to the state treasurer, Department of State Lands, and other agencies for these costs from the fund, but it's not to exceed 5% of the total monies that are deposited in the fund per biennium.
And there is a fiscal, so it does need to go to Ways and Means. And again, I want to share with people the time and effort we had to put to get this together. It is, again, in talking to counties and others, if these facilities start working and they're outside of our land, there's a law from the federal government that says that they have to share their research, the money they make, with the state. And we get a proportion of that. This says that when we get that money, a portion of it will go to the trust, a portion will go to the state, and a portion will go to the county at which it comes in at. And it apportions all that ahead of time, before any money comes, when we're all, before we're fighting over the money, we actually have it taken care of before we get there. And that's the purpose of having this bill. It also allows for other groups that want to have an interest in finding out and studying the ocean to have a place to send money. And our goal is that it wouldn't cost anything, that the fund itself would be the cost. In looking at it and reviewing it, they believe that it may still have a cost for the agency, and that's why it has a fiscal. We're working to try to make sure that it doesn't. That's not our intent. And so we will work that out with people in Ways and Means and see if we can get that worked out. But our goal is that this will be self-perpetuating, and it will cover its own costs. That it shouldn't cost anything for the state. And that is, everybody that worked on this has really felt strongly that we can get there. So that's what it is. So I'll take a motion.
Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendments dated 4/17/13.
Senator Bearsugar moves to adopt the Dash 5 amendments dated 4/17/13. Is there any discussion?
Is the percentages still the same? The 7 goes to the counties, 10% to the trust, and 10%
yes,
to the...
Yes, it says 30% for the counties, but that's 30% of the other percent, which comes out to be 7%.
Okay.
It's a little bit over, but they do okay.
All right.
Yes. Any other discussions? Seeing none, is there any objection? None? It is adopted. Senator Bearsugar.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 737 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Bearsugar moves Senate Bill 737 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, it is adopted. It is off to Ways and Means. And I'm going to work pretty hard to make sure that it gets through Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's a good job.
Next, we'll close the work session on 737. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 841. And with that, our illustrious chair, who I have never said, is Ms. Brancier.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 841, we heard on April 11th, and then we had a work session on the 16th. and we adopted the Dash 7 amendment. The revenue statement has been issued for the Dash 7, and it should be in front of you, and there's a minimal fiscal impact. And this is our winery bill that authorizes wineries meeting certain acreage and annual production requirements to be established as a permitted use on land zoned for mixed farm and forest use in addition to exclusive farm use land. It also establishes other provisions surrounding marketing and sales, as well as events. If you recall, this is the one that has that allows the winery to carry up to 18 days of agritourism or commercial events annually. I'm happy to explain it more if you would like.
Any more discussion necessary here? Okay, thank you. Senator Boettcher.
We're a little slow on the blue sheets today. That's okay, though. Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 841 as... That's the wrong bill.
That's the right one.
Have we already adopted the amendments? We did, didn't we?
We did.
Yep. Okay, yeah, Dash 7. All right, let's start over here again. Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 841 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Boettcher moves Senate Bill 841 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? We had a lot of discussion the last time, and we anticipate this will have some more work as it moves through the whole process.
Yep.
There'll be other opportunities to discuss.
But we appreciate all the work that's done, and I actually am really happy, and I know we heard yesterday some testimony from the governor's office indicating that there's some little things that they want to work on, and I think we all agree that that is stuff we will do in the future.
North zone, south zone.
Okay, so with that, is there any other discussion? Is there any objection to this bill? Seeing none, it is passed, and... anybody want to carry this bill? I will, otherwise.
Well, I'd carry it, but I might start on the Dash 3s.
I think it's between the two of us when you talk about wine lovers, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
I will carry this bill. And with that, we're going to close our work session on Senate Bill 841. And we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 462. And with that, our administrator will give a short description of Senate Bill 462.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 462 is our composting bill. If you recall, we heard that bill on April 9th, and there is a proposed Dash 4 amendment that has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. And basically, the reason that the Dash 4 amendment is a little bit different than the one that you saw the last time was that we needed to clarify a few provisions in it regarding just replacing commercial wasn't defined, and so we've replaced commercial with sells or offers product for sale. It also removed the definitions of feedstocks to allow the definitions in DEQ rule to continue. And then it also clarified what facilities were affected as a result of us taking out the definition of feedstocks. We had to then modify the provisions of the eligibility, or not eligibility requirements, but applicability to composting facilities. So you'll see that in the bill that it applies to new composting facilities and then also existing ones that start to accept non-vegetative materials or that change their operations in a way that requires a land use approval.
So before we take action, though, I just want to say a real big thank you to Senator Olson and Senator Starr, who worked very hard on bringing a work group together and working this bill to get to the point that it is today. And, you know, it started out more as a land use bill. It learned into a process bill, and I think it worked. It's doing what Oregon does best, and that is letting people know what's coming and then having a conversation about that in local communities to come up with the best place to site these facilities, because I think everybody has agreed that we want to do composting. It's just figuring out how to do it best. So with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the dash four amendments dated 4/12/13 for Senate Bill 8462.
Senator Bearsugger moves to adopt the dash four amendments dated 4/12/13. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I will be a no on this. I'm concerned about the den animals. I don't see the Department of Health involved here, so I can't support it.
Okay.
I think they should be buried.
I understand. And I think fairly carefully that in talking about that and in talking to them, that as we look at this bill and it moves forward, they may want to look at that. I think at the same time, they recognize that you've really got, if you're going to compost things with animals, it's got to get up to a certain heat. And we've talked about that to make sure that it kills those bacteria, and I think those people understand that. But I understand your concern.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? So is there any other opposition to the dash four amendments? Seeing none. They are adopted. Note the one exception. Okay. Now, Senator Bearsugger.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 462 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Bearsugger moves Senate Bill 462 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? You've already got that. So, is there objection?
Here.
Noted for the record. Senator Close. And with that, they are adopted. Anyone in particular? I think I'll ask Senator Olson.
Senator Starr.
Senator Olson and Starr. Very good. We've already had it. We will assign the two of them. So we're going to close our work session on Senate Bill 642. And we're going to open a work session on SJM 10. Which amendments do you want to adopt? We've got the SJMs on all the amendments. We've got the fiscal this on all the amendments, but not on the base bill. So if we adopt one of them, then we have all the papers.
Or we could just suspend the rules. I mean, if you're sending the rules to be worked on, my suggestion would be send it clean, because
I'll put it on the record that we don't care. If we adopt one that we aren't.
Right. Really.
And, okay. Still, and when we send it without objection. I mean, with no recommendation.
Right.
Okay. Is that okay? So which one is the most innocuous?
Could we stand at ease?
Sure. We're going to take a short recess.
Beat Russia.
That's right. We're going to come back into our committee, and in doing so, we are going to suspend the rules. I will request a motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of not having physical, you're going to write it out. Okay. So we'll get it written out here, and then we'll get it done. And then after that, we're going to pass the original Senate bill, SJM 10, to the Rules Committee without recommendation for the purpose of getting together. Senator Bettinger and I, and we'll set up a work group to try to come up, craft some language, and we'll be getting a hold of people to get
input,
and then we will see if we can come up with amendments that secure a large number, if not all, of the members of the legislature to tell our delegation what we all want to have happen, and that is that we look at the amazing resource that we have called the ONC Forest, and that we have ability to do the multiple kinds of activities and uses that the forest provides for us, including, as the governor's recommended was, some more harvest so that we get people back into jobs. We had a conversation today about one more mill that just closed in southern Oregon, but we want to have that meeting, and we'll get that worked out so that we can have it. And this gives us one tool in which we can put that in and make a statement to get our congressional delegation together, along with Oregon, moving forward to use this particular asset that we have. And shortly we'll have a motion.
I got it.
Okay.
Chair Roblin, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of moving SJM 10 without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statement on hand at this time.
Okay. Senator Bettinger has moved that rules be suspended for the purpose of moving Senate SJM 10 without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at the time. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Thank you. Senator Bettinger.
Senator Bettinger.
That's you.
This has been a long week, okay? All right. Chair Roblin, I move SJM 10 to the floor without recommendations and add a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules.
That's right. So Senator Bettinger moves SJM 10 to the floor without recommendation and add a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules. So it's on its way to Rules. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, SJM 10 is on its way to Rules. So we'll close the work session on SJM 10. And I think we've covered everything. I want to thank everybody. This has been a great group so far, and now we get to start working on these House bills and some other work that we have to do, and some, I think, very informative meetings coming up for this committee. So with that, are we ready? We will adjourn our Senate Committee on Rural Communities and Economic Development. We got done early. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, no long night.